Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adeblue talking with Tony Stone, the head coach for the Montana State Billings women's softball team. Tough, coming off a tough weekend, losing 3 of 4 at home against GNAC rival Western Oregon. You know, you win a thriller in extra innings, and then after that, particularly the second day, boy, just things didn't go your way.
Yeah, the first day, tough day, but the first game that we got was, like I've been telling them all year long, we're going to have to kick, fight, scratch, do whatever we can to win, based on the things that we got going on with the injuries and the younger kids that need to step up. And I think, you know, it was, in my mind, it was a really optimistic outcome for us in that we could win a ball game. Our pitching held them to 2 runs, a lot of hits, but our defense backed up the pitching, and you know, we didn't have a whole lot of offense, but what we did have, we took advantage of. And I told them after that game, I said, this is exactly what you got to do every game. Unfortunately, we couldn't do that for the next 3. Pitching has been there. You know, we've gotten the results we've wanted. Defense has to be there all the time. We can't give up, you know, errors, and as many errors as we had this weekend. You can't give a team like Western Oregon 4 or 5 outs in an inning because they can hit the ball. And, you know, if our pitcher misses a spot and the defense doesn't back them up and we're not playing well offensively, that's just a recipe for disaster. And, you know, losing 3 of 4 against, you know, a pretty good Western Oregon team, I'm not really ready to sink the ship yet, but we've got to be ready to fight. We've got to be willing to bounce back from this if we have any hope whatsoever going to the postseason.
You know, we've talked a lot about the pitching this year for obvious reasons. Started out, you know, before the season started, you thought you'd have 5 pitchers. Of course, you had the GNAC player of the year. He hate to keep, you know, just dragging it into the dirt, but Casey Condor gets hurt, and now you're down to 2 pitchers. But in a situation like that, certainly you knew that that would be a challenge for you, but that doesn't explain offensive woes. Certainly you expect a team to come out and hit the ball, and lately that just hasn't happened for you. Is it a fundamental issue? Is it an issue where maybe people are pressing a little bit, particularly maybe with runners in scoring position? What are some of those things those girls are battling right now that has just kind of been an adherence to getting that offense going?
Well, it starts with the mentality, and that gives way to physical. You know, it's, they get in the batter's box, and I think they're just not focused on what they need to do. They're not making good adjustments right now, and like I said, that lends to the physical mechanic of the swing being poor. And you know, we tell all of our hitters to be aggressive in the zone. And I think all weekend long, even in the first game that we won, if we saw a good pitch to hit, we weren't swinging. We'd get behind, and then we started swinging at pitchers' pitches that were out of the zone. And that's something that we've got to change. We've got to change right away. There was no fire for our hitters this weekend. It was really odd to see, and pretty frustrating that, you know, as aggressive as we can be, we just made that choice not to be aggressive in the batter's box. And like I said, we weren't swinging at pitches that were in the zone. We weren't swinging at pitches that were pitchers' mistakes. We were swinging at balls that were out of the zone, and we were doing what the pitcher wanted us to do. And, you know, I think some of that is youth, but overall it's a mentality. You know, it doesn't matter what age you are, you still got to get in there and want to hit the ball. And I just don't think that we had that mentality. We weren't ready to go into the batter's box to swing the bat.
Talk a little bit about some of the particular aspects of the Yellow Jackets game, including offense, when we come back with the second part of the Coach's Show with Tony Stone.
Sign up with Sign Pro. Let the people know.
Trust Sign Pro. From banners to illuminated cabinets, dimensional signs and letters, custom designs and logos, to wide format color printing and neon. With their top quality cutting edge signage, they have the knowledge to make your first impression a lasting one. So go ahead, create an impact for your business. Sign up with Sign Pro today, 259-3200.
Sign up with Sign Pro.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adeblue talking with Tony Stone, the head coach for the Montana State Billings softball team. I want to talk a little bit more about offense, because I realize every hitter is a little bit different. I think we've talked about this in the past. Some hitters are comfortable with taking a strike or two, you know, early on in the count, and some people like to jump on the first pitch. I realize that. From a coach's standpoint, you know, you've got a particular philosophy. Does your philosophy, is it kind of a one-size-fit-all, if you will, or is it, is every player a little bit different in terms of how you want him to approach approach a particular bat?
Every player has a different physical swing. There's so many variables that no player looks the same. I mean, there might be some similarities in terms of how they might hold their hands. There might be some similarities as to, you know, their stance, open stance, closed stance, things like that. But, you know, overall, it is different for each person that steps into the batter's box. And sometimes, you know, one thing that might work for one person one year might not work for them the next year. So you got to be willing to adjust. It's repetition, it's practice, it's doing it over and over and over and finding out what works overall. And actually, Jeff Allman and I used to sit down and talk about this all the time. If you can see it, if you can time it, and then hit it, it really shouldn't matter how you swing the bat. But those three things have got to happen. You've got to be able to see it, you've got to be able to time it. And third thing is hit it, put the bat on the ball. Now, you know, overall, I think, you know, with the hitters that we do have, we've gone to a little bit more of a small ball kind of game this year. That's another thing that's been a little frustrating is that we haven't been bunting very well either. So, yeah, there's a difference in each hitter. But overall, if you can see it and time it, put a good swing on it. Now, I'm of the philosophy that the pitching at this level is just too good to watch any good pitch go by, whether that be the first one or the second one, third one, whichever pitch it is. So we tell our hitters, you've got to be ready to swing as soon as you step into the box. It doesn't matter if it's the first pitch, if it's the second, third, or fourth, you've got to be ready to swing, because at any time, you might see the best pitch of the at-bat. And if the pitcher makes a mistake, you've got to be ready to swing the bat. I don't like our hitters to get into the habit of, well, I watched the first pitch go by. That's not a good idea, because sometimes, you know, as many people that scout us and as many scouting reports that are out there, if you get scouted as somebody who watches the first pitch go by, you're going to see the best pitch of the at-bat and you're not even going to swing. So I tell our hitters, you got to be ready to swing as soon as you step into the box. If it's the first pitch, go get it. And like I said, see it and time it, and then from there on, put a good swing on it and hit the ball hard.
Talked with this with Coach Brown the other day. I said, you know, in the little league level, you know, people are swinging at balls over their head, and you know, usually the comment from people, well, at least they're up there swinging. At this level, though, that's not enough. I mean, obviously, you've talked about it. You want them to recognize good pitches and swing at good pitches, and you know, as aggressive as you like to be, certainly once you get to this level, you don't like to see them swinging at pitches that are unhittable or just pitches that they're, you know, not going to do anything with. Have you had a problem? You kind of alluded to it, but maybe choosing bad pitches to swing at, for that matter.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The idea that, you know, the pitching is so good at this level that you don't want to help them out, so you can't be swinging at pitches that are out of the zone. Overall, we have done a pretty fair job at the beginning of the year of letting bad pitches go by and swinging at good ones. You know, at one time we were hitting 300 as a team. Now we're hitting about 250, I think, as a team, and that's indicative of what's going on. We're swinging at bad pitches right now. We're not swinging at good ones. So, yeah, we got to make sure that we're not helping the pitcher anymore. Like you said, in Little League, those kids are swinging the bat at just about everything. And, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. You know, it is. But as you go up, you know, in levels, and as the level of pitching increases and becomes more competitive, boy, you just can't give that pitcher an extra strike that they didn't deserve.
I think of some of the pitchers that MSUB has had through the years, and I think of Joey Enos years ago. You know, there were times when I'd be watching her, and I'd say, well, she's going to come with the rise ball here. I figured the batter probably knew it too, and yet they would swing at that pitch, and sure enough, it would just whiff right past their bat. Are there certain tells from a batter standpoint when they go up there? Because obviously, sometimes you swing at a bad pitch because it looks like a good pitch. That's what the pitcher's trying to get you to do, so it's not... So sometimes that comes into play. From a hitter standpoint, are they looking for certain things? I know you don't like to get into a habit probably of guessing what pitch it's going to be, because, boy, that's going to get you in trouble. But are there some things they can look at? Because if they do chase a bad pitch, maybe sometimes they just get fooled. Are there some things they can do to kind of cut down on those aspects?
Well, that's something that we work on as far as hitting aspect goes is, if one of our hitters has an obvious weakness, we try and, you know, work on that the most, because I'm the type of coach where if I see a hitter's weakness on an opposing team, for example, they drop their hands into the strike zone, then they're never going to see anything down. It's all up, 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 and off speed. So that's something that we, you know, from our standpoint, we look at our hitters, we try and pick out our weaknesses, because I'm sure that the opposing team is looking at our weaknesses and they're saying pitch to their weakness. Well, you know, we've got to try and make those weaknesses strengths and make our strengths stronger. And if we can do that, then, you know, it's tough to pitch to a weakness if you don't have a weakness. But like I said, I think we've just got a few flaws in some of our swings right now that, you know, they creep up on us in a game. In practice, we seem to, you know, do what we're needing to do. We're working on our weaknesses. But as soon as we get into a game, like I said earlier, you know, we just have the mentality where there's a lot of pressure on us. And we add pressure to ourselves by not being able to focus and calm down in the batter's box and swing at good pitches. So, yeah, there's a lot of weaknesses that, you know, opposing teams look at and try and pitch to. Like I said, I see another team's weakness, and I'm going to pitch to it. And I think that's what's happening with us right now. Some of our weaknesses are just being exploited.
Coming up, actually 2 weekends in a row, Montana State Billings is going to head on the road. We're going to talk about the upcoming series against Northwest Nazarene on the third part of the Coach's Show with Tony Stone.
Where can you find Yellow Jacket apparel and memorabilia? It's all at Jackets & Company. They've got you covered. Everything from that t-shirt to that special Yellow Jacket coffee mug to that really special doodad you just know you have to have. Why not go now? That item you were thinking about buying is just sitting there waiting for you. Go ahead. They're right around the corner with 5 Beezer's locations to serve you. They've got it. You know it. Jackets & Company. On campus, downtown, and online at www.jacketsandcompany.com.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adeblue talking with Tony Stone, the head coach for the Montana State Billings softball team, on the road this Friday and Saturday as they head to Nampa, Idaho to take on Northwest Nazarene in a pair of doubleheaders. You know, you swept Northwest Nazarene down here on March 12th and 13th. Interestingly enough, I mean, one would kind of look at this schedule and say, well, it's a pretty good chance to right the ship, but all of a sudden the Crusaders playing some great ball. You mentioned recently they've taken 2 of 3. They took 2 of 3 from a very, very good Central Washington team. I guess from your standpoint, just doesn't get any easier this weekend, particularly being on the road.
Oh, no, it's never easy. It never is, especially playing Northwest Nazarene at their place. They've got a really raucous bunch of fans. They are very vocal, and, you know, they're very tough at home. Northwest Nazarene has just been notorious for being tough at home. And last year, when we went there, it was probably the toughest set that we'd had all year, and that's not to take anything away from any of the other teams, but it just seems like it's a tough draw to go down to Nampa because, boy, those girls play hard when they're at home. And it was kind of a surprise that, you know, Northwest Nazarene did beat Central Washington 2 of 3, but then again it wasn't, because they're a pretty good ball club. You know, their record might not show it, but they're a free-swinging ball club. And if you're not having a good day defensively and you're not having a good day from a pitching standpoint, they're going to put some runs on the board. And they've got decent defense and decent pitching that, you know, we're kind of in a funk right now that if we don't go down there and get out of it, you know, we're not going to be sitting too pretty at the end of the weekend. That being said, we're going to make sure that they understand how important this is this weekend, that our team is ready to play, and as soon as we get off the bus, we need to be focused and ready to play good ball, because I know Northwest Nazarene will be.
Knowing you as I do, Tony, I know you're frustrated. I know your assistant coaches are frustrated right now. If you're frustrated, you know the players are. Nobody wants to do better than the players. As much as the coaches want them to do well, the players, obviously, it's just human nature, they want to do well. It's kind of a fine balance. I mean, you don't want to get too down in the dumps because, boy, there's a lot of season left. A lot of things can happen. And yet, you certainly don't want people that are just nonchalant about it and say, oh, well, that's the way it goes. Where do you kind of find that balance right now, and where is this team kind of sitting in terms of their emotional state heading into an important 4-game series against the Crusaders?
Well, I think for the most part, our mentality is kind of that of surprise. Nobody expected to be here. And I think that's what has become the frustrating part, is our expectations were so high at the beginning of the year. And, you know, now we're sitting 12-12 in conference and 15-20 overall. And it's frustrating to be in that situation. The positive thing is that we are not out of it. You know, we go in and we play well this weekend, and if we win four games, you know, nobody has run away with the conference. Nobody has, you know, done what they needed to do in order to wrap things up early, which means we're still in it. We're still hanging around. And, you know, as good as we played at the beginning of the year, if we can find that, if we can find that aggressiveness, if we can find that focus, then we could be right back in it. And that takes, you know, one weekend. As we've had a couple of bad weekends, you know, the other teams in the conference might have some bad weekends as well. If we're the lone team to have a good weekend, hey, we're right back in it. So that's what I'm going to express to the team in the next couple of days in practices. You know, we're not out of it. We need to remain focused. We need to play our best. We need to, you know, quit making excuses. Let the frustration subside into, you know, hard work. And, you know, focus on what we need to do. And I think if we can do that, we'll be all right. It takes that mentality that, you know, although things didn't go well for us last weekend, that's over and done with. There's nothing we can do about it. All we can do is focus on the next series with Northwest Nazarene.
And that's Friday and Saturday, a pair of doubleheaders. And then they'll be on the road the next weekend against St. Martin's. Their next home game will be May 1st, Saturday, the beginning of a four-game series against Central Washington. Tony Stone, best of luck to you this weekend.
Thank you so much, Ken.
And the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with Tony Stone. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.